Hey, Schlockheads. It's Josh, and I'm back, guys. So we took a little bit of time off. It was only supposed to be a couple of weeks. Then I got sick, and then I had another vacation I had to take, and there wasn't time, and family obligations, and just a bunch of stuff kept coming up. So I took off more time than intended, but I'm back, and I'm back in grand fashion. So if you didn't see the Facebook post, let me kind of clue you in on what's going on. So I posted on Facebook about a month ago. We were going to take some time off so that I could focus on some changes to the channel, and I would let you guys know when that was done and when we were ready to relaunch and that there was going to be a big announcement. Today, I made that big announcement. That big announcement is we are changing what the channel's focus is going to be. So when I originally started this channel, the goal that I had in mind when I was conceptualizing this was to have a channel that was all about horror content, right? I love film as a whole. I talk about film a lot with all my friends, not just horror, but every genre. It's super important to me. But I have for a long time felt that the horror community is where I felt the most accepted and loved within the film world, and I love talking about it. So I don't ever want to stop talking about film overall, and I'm not gonna. If you're somebody who I know personally, you're still gonna hear me talk about all sorts of film. You're still gonna have me posting my lists online. But here's what I want to do. From now on, anything film-related that is not specific to horror will be kind of just handled in sporadic posts on my website, joshuahalstead.com. That's my blog, so it has articles that I'm writing, it has short stories that I've written, and it will have movie reviews for movies that I feel like I have something to say about. It'll have breakdowns of what's going on in film culture when I feel like I have something to say. But for me, what I felt a lot of was feeling drained by having to do these weekly podcasts where I had to record the day that they got uploaded. It became very draining and very complicated and very difficult to keep up with. And beyond just that, I didn't feel like I had enough to say about, for instance, box office charting each week. So there were occasional weeks where I would have a ton to say, a whole bunch of stuff happened, it was really important. And then there were a lot of weeks where I just didn't have anything to say. And I don't want to put out subpar content. Additionally, there were just a lot of movies that I would see that I didn't have anything groundbreaking to say. My review of it was just kind of me saying if I liked it or didn't like it, because I just didn't have detailed thoughts on it. So we're going to axe Weekend Recap. We're just not going to do that anymore. Instead, you're still going to get some movie reviews on here, but what you're going to get are movie reviews of the horror films coming out. So you'll get bonus episodes whenever a horror film comes out, and I will review it on here. I can't promise I'm going to watch every horror film that comes out on, you know, in theaters, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all that. That's dumb, is probably too much, but I'm going to try to review as many horror films as possible. I should be able to review basically every theatrical horror film, and then I'll try to do some of the straight-to-DVD and straight-to-streaming service ones. I'll definitely try to get some Shudder movies in there, some Netflix originals. I can already tell you there are a few on Netflix coming out later this year that I'm definitely going to review. So that's what we're going to do for that. We're just going to switch to bonus videos for reviews of horror films instead of doing a weekly recap show of the weekend with reviews and charting. Schlock Culture, the primary show on this channel, it is going to continue to be a weekly show, but it's going to be closer aligned to what I originally wanted to do, which is going to be basically me talking about horror. So there'll be horror voice essays every Friday. They're going to be roughly the same length as Schlock Culture has been to this point, but that's what they're going to be. And so instead of movie news, it's going to be me either talking about an issue I have in the horror community or breaking down a film, things like that. So that will start this coming Friday. And then What the Schlock won't change at all. It's already horror-centric, so me and Michael and Kevin, we're going to keep doing What the Schlock. It's going to be great. We have 12 months this year, which means we have 12 great episodes of What the Schlock. I want to thank everybody who has supported this channel, who has listened to this show, who has told their friends about this show. This channel has been slowly and steadily growing, and it is very, very important to me. I want to thank you for hanging in there while I had to take that break. I certainly took that break much sooner than I intended or than I wanted to, but I'm back, and I don't intend on taking a break for a long time. So with all that being said, This is the first podcast episode of 2020, and it's a bonus episode because, guys, I saw The Grudge 2020 on Thursday, and I wanted to do a review of it. So I was a little too busy to do it over the weekend, but here we are. Here's my review of The Grudge 2020. So let's start out with the good. The performances in this movie are really good, right? So John Cho and Lin Shaye are both fantastic. They're the two sort of bigger stars, more well-known stars, and they were really good in this movie. They blew me away. So John Cho is somebody who I love, and I always think that he is really good. And he's been showing up in some really good dramas and horror films and stuff like that, and he's done a pretty good job, but he is a little bit, his taste in films to be in is a little suspect sometimes. So he was a little weaker in some of the things he's been in. So this Grudge movie, right, went and saw it. Guys, Cho was really good. He was well cast, but he had nothing to work with. And the same goes for Lin Shaye, and the same goes for every person in this cast. This movie has an amazing cast, but nobody is given anything to do. So the good is that their performances are great. But now let's talk about the bad, because that is my one good. So let's talk about the bad. Let's start with this movie is incredibly predictable. Not just the scares. I mean, the scares are incredibly predictable, and we'll dive into my issues with the scares here in a minute. But every character decision, every scene setup, the entire plot, the ending, all of it is incredibly predictable. Just incredibly predictable. There is nothing shocking here. So this entire thing is basically, as you're watching, even if you don't watch horror, you can sit there and go, I know what's happening with that storyline, I know what's happening with that storyline, this scene's going to set up a scene like this later on. I mean, it's very obvious. I'm not going to go into spoilers, I'm not going to dive in deep on anything, just because I don't want to spoil the film for anybody that does want to see it. But it is really, really obvious what they're going to do in every scene, in every situation. But that's not really even the worst part, because there are films that are predictable, especially within the horror genre. There are films that are predictable, but it's okay, because they're still well-helmed, and the characters are still likable, and the dialogue is fun, and so you watch it, and it's predictable, but it's fun. Now, you know, I don't think there are a whole lot of, like, really genuinely great horror films that are predictable, but there are a bunch that are fun and predictable, right? Happy Death Day was super fun. It's super predictable, but it's super fun, and a lot of the 80s slashers are predictable, but fun. But this has nothing new to bring to it. Nothing at all. There's nothing interesting here. There's no interesting twist. It's just boring and cliche and obvious. And then you have the issue of the scares, and we have to talk about this. Guys, for the last time, Hollywood, jump scares aren't scary. Most people don't react to jump scares. It's pretty hard to get somebody to really react to a jump scare. And when you do, it's usually because the jump scare is done differently than how Hollywood does it, right? So this movie has one of the things that drives me nuts in a lot of mainstream horror, right? So it's one of the big reasons why I don't like The Nun. I don't like Annabelle Comes Home. I don't like the first Annabelle. It's the reason why I don't like a lot of those. Because they are entirely reliant on jump scares, and they're lazy jump scares. I mean, jump scares in general are pretty lazy, but they are so lazy in how they do these, because basically you have a loud noise leading up and somebody's walking down a hall way slower than anybody ever actually would, and then rah! Or they look in a mirror, and then they look away, and they look back at me, rah! And stuff like that, right? This movie is full of that. Every single scare, quote-unquote, in this movie is a jump scare. But not only is it a jump scare, they're all very, very bad, very lazy jump scares. Very bad. To the extent that nobody in my theater was reacting scared to anything. I've gone and seen horrible, horrible horror films and had people still get scared about things. You know, how you can audibly hear some people gasp at a jump scare or whatever. There was none of that. There were people laughing at a bunch of the jump scares. I'm not exaggerating. There were multiple people laughing throughout the film at the jump scares and the way that some of the scary scenes were handled, because they're not scary. They're predictable. They're over the top. Everything is filled with loud noises that throw off any realism in the moment. They're not good scares. I mean, there's nothing scary in this. Not only that, but this movie was directed by the director of a movie called The Eyes of My Mother. The Eyes of My Mother is a super good movie. So this was directed, I'm probably going to pronounce his name wrong. I think it's pronounced Nicholas Pess. He did The Eyes of My Mother and Piercing. He is a good director, but this movie is awful, and it is lazy, and it is predictable, and there is nothing original here. And the reason why it's important, why I mention his name, is this movie has, for me, completely turned me off from ever watching anything else made by Nicholas Pess. There is no other film by him I will ever want to watch. I will probably still end up seeing it because it's horror and I see most new horror, but I have no excitement to go see any new films by him. Here's why. When a horror director makes a bad horror film, usually I go, oh, that sucks, and I move on and I see the other films and I give them more chances. The reason is it's really easy to miscalculate when you're making any film. But it's way easier to miscalculate when you're making a horror film than almost any other genre, because, you know, you have to calculate for the believability of each scene, and then you have to try to frame those scenes, right? I've shot some horror short films with friends, tried really hard, and there have been times where a scene has worked really well, and times where a scene that I was sure would work just did not work, just didn't work at all. And it wasn't because I was not paying attention, or I was being lazy, because it just didn't work within the plot, or it didn't work well when it stitched together, whatever. Or you're watching and you realize this scene is, you know, you can't extend your believability enough. But this movie was not an instance of this director trying his hardest. This was him being lazy. He got a big old paycheck to make another movie in the Grudge franchise, and he turned in, I think, maybe the laziest horror film I have ever watched. I know I keep saying that it's lazy, but, you know, when you watch this, if you watch it, you will understand why I keep driving it home. Because there are horror films that I can't stand because I think they're awful, but I don't think they're lazy, right? My Bloody Valentine 3D is a film that I hate. I hate that movie. I will never watch it again. I hate every second of that movie. It is a miserable film for me. But everybody was trying, right? Not just the cast and crew, but the writer and the director. I mean, everybody was trying to make a good film. They had what they thought were interesting twists, right? They clearly thought out the plot, and it didn't work. That is, to me, a film I saw it and I went, I hate this movie. I make fun of the movie, but there's nobody that worked on that movie who I would not give another chance to. I would happily give them another chance. I have no interest in ever watching anything else by Nicholas Pess, because this film, he didn't try. There's nothing original. There's nothing intelligent. There is nothing thought out about this film. He didn't try. He just didn't. And by the way, it's not just he wrote the film. So it's not, oh, well, he was saddled with Batman. No, he wrote the film. But the direction is awful, right? It's not a pretty looking film. Right, it's just not. It's not interesting looking. He did this thing. A lot of newer films do this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. He did it very badly, and I kind of don't like it anyway. But there's this thing where they mute colors in a lot of new films, and particularly in a lot of new horror, they mute colors. I hate when people mute the colors in their movies. Right, it's to make it more gritty and realistic and blah, 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 but we don't see things muted like that, right? So there's a disconnect. It actually removes realism when you're watching the movie. I hate it. However, that being said, a bunch of directors, horror or otherwise, do a really good job with that. Sam Mendes does a fantastic job with that in a lot of his movies. And to keep it horror-centric, my favorite working horror director is Mike Flanagan. And Flanagan is a filmmaker who consistently mutes the colors and uses a bit of grayscale or you know, tones down the colorization of the films. And though I don't always love it in his movies, in general, it really doesn't bother me in his, because it at least works for the stories he's telling. There's a reason why it's there beyond just that it makes it look gritty. But it's done horribly here, and it completely takes you out of the movie, and there's just no justification for it. A really frustrating thing in this movie is that there are ideas that could potentially be interesting. Now, there are no original concepts in here, none at all, but the Grudge movies have always focused on basically a family dealing with a cursed house, right? A house that has a grudge on it, or a family with, you know, it's always about a family in a house. This movie is about the cops investigating, but it's not done well. It feels like every other procedural cop drama TV show and movie, right? So first of all, it would be kind of a novel concept if it hadn't been done before, and you could kind of give it some leeway in how it handles it, except for that this was done better in 2004 in the first Saw movie. It's been done over and over and over again in the Saw franchise, to the point that we no longer like Saw movies because they do that. Not only has it been done in there, it's been done in The Collector, The Collection, whatever. It's been done over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in horror, right? It's super popular now, and now procedural cop TV shows, right? Shows like Castle and Bones. I think both of those are off air, so I picked two slightly older ones. But they've done serial killer plot lines, season-long serial killer plot lines, season-long horror-themed plot lines in those. Why? Because it works. People know you can do that with the cops, and people care and get invested. But just doing that thing, even though it's been done, doesn't necessarily mean that the thing you're making is bad. What makes it bad is that it feels like you're watching a bad network television procedural show. I mean, it is genuinely, and this is a big deal coming from me, it is genuinely handled worse than NCIS. And even if you like NCIS, the idea you go to the theater and pay $12 to $15 to see a movie, a horror movie, a big budget horror movie, made by the guy who made The Eyes of My Mother, which is this really good artsy horror film, and it's handled worse than an episode of NCIS, is unforgivably bad. And it's because Nicholas Pesce wrote a lame, lazy, unoriginal, completely derivative, cliche piece of trash. Just complete trash, right? We've got a couple more things to talk about here. I don't want to keep you guys too long. So, some of the dialogue, because if you have a lame plot, right, if your plot is derivative and cliche and we've seen it before, but you have really good dialogue and good character development, you could kind of get away with it a little bit, especially in the horror genre, right? Like I've said, horror fans are a lot more forgiving a lot of that stuff, because what we want is to watch a movie that has the specific elements we like and that's done by somebody who clearly loves the genre and knows what they're doing. This movie has some of the worst dialogue I have ever heard in my life. It is so bad and cliche. I mean, people were laughing at lines of dialogue where characters were crying and people were laughing at it. There are large sections of this movie where nothing happens. When I say nothing happens, I don't mean that in the way that I think a lot of horror junkies will talk about a movie that is a slower, more methodical film, and they'll be like, nothing really happens. I don't mean it like that. There are tons of slow, methodical films where, quote-unquote, nothing happens, where stuff's happening, right? The Shining. The Shining has scene after scene after scene. No horror is happening, right? But what's happening? Well, what's happening is we're getting character development and plot development. But that's not what happens here. There are just scenes where people just are bored. They're just bored. And yeah, there's so much of this film where nothing's happening. The dialogue is terrible. There's no character development and there's no plot development here. It's so terrible. And when you are saddling actors like John Cho and Lin Shaye with material this bad and this lame, and they're trying their best, and they give great performances, and those performances mean nothing because you did nothing to make them matter to the story, that is just unforgivable. But we tie that into, if you've seen a Grudge movie, you know that the Grudge movies have, you know, mediocre effects usually. Most of the early thousands American remakes of J-horror films, with the exception of, I think, basically The Ring, had not very good CGI effects. That being said, in 2004, the effects in The Grudge, well, they weren't bad. Nobody was taken out of the film by the fact that the effects didn't look great, because, well, there wasn't that much CGI going around, and they weren't that bad of CGI effects. The effects in this Grudge movie, in the 2020 Grudge movie, I actually thought were worse than in the 2004 American remake of The Grudge with Sarah Michelle Gellar. I mean, they were almost as bad as the effects in that Jessica Alba The Eye movie. It was really bad, and distractingly so. Like, took me out of the continuity of the film bad. And there were people laughing about how bad the effects were in the theater. It was very, very bad. So the last thing I want to talk about here is that this is an R-rated The Grudge movie, and they did a whole lot promoting this film, talking about it's the first R-rated American Grudge movie, and it's so effed up, and it's more effed up than the original The Grudge, and guys, nothing happens. There's no reason why this is rated R. All the violence is off-screen. All the deaths are off-screen. There's very little blood. It is a genuinely, genuinely tame, unenjoyable disaster of a movie. So we started 2020 with what I am reasonably certain we will end 2020 still having my least favorite film of the year. In fact, one of my least favorite films I've ever seen. I hate this movie. Not just I don't like it, I hate this movie. I mean, it is almost Dragon Ball Evolution levels of bad. This movie is trash. It is awful. Do not see it. Do not support this. This movie is just god-awful. I'm going to give it 0.25 out of 5 stars because Lin Shaye and John Cho were decent for the material they were given. Thank you guys for listening to my review of The Grudge 2020. I hope you like this new format where I can sort of do an in-depth review of movies. Until next time, well, I guess really until Friday when we're here with the brand new schlock culture, have a great week and go schlock yourselves.